Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Kim.
I'm Ed. And I always look at this picture and say, is my head really that much bigger than my wife's? And everyone says, yes, it is. Much more gray matter in there because I need more than her because, you know, it takes more for men to operate than it does for women. Amen? Yeah. Anyway, we're here and we want to thank you for the warm weather. Because it's acclimating us for Guatemala when we go back. When we came back in February, the 18th of February, I believe it was the 21st in Paisley, Oregon, where we were at, it was -2 for a low and a high of 16. Coming from mid-70s to lows in the mid-60s. So it was just a little cold.
And in Guatemala City, we get really grumpy if it gets much above 80. And we get really grumpy if it gets below 50. Because most folks don't have heat or air conditioning, and most of the time in the mountains of Guatemala City, it's right around 5,000 feet, and that's how it rains. So we put on a sweatshirt or a blanket when it gets cold. So thank you for helping us go, oh, Guatemala is wonderful.
Yes, yes.
At just the right time.
Yes, yes. So today, we're going to look at a section of scripture, just to let you know, on Romans chapter 10, Paul goes through this wonderful description of what Jesus has done for us. And we've kind of sung those songs today that talk about that. How marvelous is that the God loves us. Amen. Us. When we go to heaven and we worship Him together, everyone there will be singing about how much He loves us. Amen. And I just need to tell you that that's the very reason why we exist. Is because Jesus loves us for who we are right now, and He has no intention of just leaving us this way. He intends on us continuing to grow and mature all the days of our lives, and you never know, about the time you think you're done doing ministry, He calls you to Guatemala, just to let you know. Talk to me later about that. But how can they call on Him to save them unless they believe in Him? And how can they believe in Him if they've never heard about Him? And how can they hear about Him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news. I just need to say this. In our Bibles today, it's constantly saying gospel, gospel, gospel. That's the old King James terminology for a literal translation to mean good news. Folks, I'm telling you today, we don't have bad news for our world. We have the best news in the whole world for our world. And we've been all over this district in the last 3 or 4 months. And I've reminded folks that we live in one of the, if not the most unchurched areas in the United States. And I'm telling you that because we have the best opportunity of anywhere in the United States for people to hear the good news about Jesus and to be transformed. This is, in essence, Paul's theology on mission. Pretty clear, right? If you can't come to know Him unless you believe in Him, and you can't believe in Him unless you've heard about Him, and you can't hear about Him unless someone tells them, and someone is not going to tell them unless they're sent. You're sent. You're the ones who are sent. It's really interesting. We tell this story about, because we dress up like this, and I have one that's a little more bright shirt, but I didn't wear it today. This is common Guatemalan kind of garb, depending on where you're at in Guatemala. But we've gone to different coffee shops. I remember going into a Starbucks in a Safeway store in a community, and the guy looked at us like,
who are these people, and why are they dressed like that?
Right? We walked into the Starbucks just down the road. No reaction at all here.
So Springfield Green, our whole opening line.
It really did.
Just so you know.
But just to tell you this, Springfield, my guess, has multiple subcultures within the culture, correct?
Yes.
Well, you're all right.
So you already know these cultures. So guess what? You, church, are called to be missionaries to your cultures.
Right.
And if you catch this last phrase, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. Go ahead and look down at your feet.
You know, you really can. All of you are looking like you're crazy. Look at your feet. Do it right now.
Anybody think, yeah, you're not doing it. Beautiful? I mean, this is not what we think of. Maybe you just had a pedicure, and yeah, I need one. But how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. If we would have had our kids out separate this morning, I probably would have brought a cake pan with some tempera paint in it, and we would have made footprints with this verse as a poster to remind you, church, you have beautiful feet.
Just to let you know, we are missionaries for the Church of Nazarene. We've been there, we're there just about 9-10 months. And then came back to raise money because we've gone from, to a kind of a different status to raise funds. And I just want to let you know that there is a definition of what it means to be what it means to be a missionary in the church. Now I'm going to step because I need to read it from here. It's out on my screen. This is directly off of the international side of the Church of Nazarene. This is what we mean by missionaries that we have go out from the local church. A Christ-like disciple set apart by the Holy Spirit, prayerfully sent out by the church, affirmed by Nazarene missions to cross cultural barriers for the purpose of spreading scriptural holiness. A little long, but it's a very clear definition. But I need to tell you that I believe very strongly that Jesus called us all to be missionaries.
Yes.
In the culture in which we live in.
Yes.
And if I were to challenge any church, I would say this, look at the subcultures in your communities that have not had anyone sent to. No matter how you might label them, someone needs to go so they can hear. Someone needs to be sent so they can hear the good news. And in that process, they'll be transformed. Several years ago, and it's been some time because we've always had, we had this stand against movies, right? We had this philosophy at one time, we're going to change our world from the outside in. It doesn't work. The only way any of us are changed are from the inside out, by the power of God. The only way a culture is changed is from the inside out, not forced to change, but by the miraculous work of God and the Holy Spirit in the midst of that. So if I were to challenge you to think differently of how we reach our community, may God give you a special assignment as a missionary to a subculture that maybe you think is so evil it could never be saved. Trust me, God is all powerful. He can transform any subculture or any culture in the world. He's been doing it for over 2,000 years. So, there you go. I'm done. But my preaching, no, it's not. Where is God at work in the world?
Exactly. So if you came to Guatemala, we would show you a few sites because, well, that's what we do. Just like if somebody comes to visit you here, you take them to see things. Like, I don't know why you want to show off the University of Oregon, but it happens. Right? So we would take you to this location. This is Cerro de la Cruz, and you can see all of the city of Antigua, Guatemala, from that place. Antigua is 7 blocks by 7 blocks. It was the cultural capital of Central America during Spanish colonialization. Beautiful historic city with lots of stories to tell. And then behind that cross, you would see this mountain. You can't quite see the top of it in this picture. But usually there's some smoke and some steam and some ash coming out of that mountain. We like that. Because when that volcano is spinning just a little bit, exactly, it's not going to blow up. When it quits spinning, we start to worry because then major eruptions can happen. The most recent one was about 4 years ago. It took out an entire village nearby, and they are still kind of rebuilding the highway that the lava flow took from an eruption. So we like it when it's just puffing a little. We might even take you here, kind of the most famous scene in Guatemala, maybe the arch in Antigua. It's beautiful. There's a good restaurant there. There's lots of reasons to come just enjoy Guatemala. But more than that, there's reasons to see God at work in Guatemala. Okay, so let us take you to where we were a little over a year ago, Rosa de Jamaica. This church
had asked for a work and witness team to come. And then COVID, well, COVID. Right? I know what happened here. Things just kind of shut down. We kind of laughingly, not laughingly say, the world shut down for a while. And Guatemala shut down in ways that the United States did not. Even here in Oregon, even out in Western Oregon, Guatemala still has a public mask mandate. And when they first said it, they said everybody stay home. You could go out once a week based on the last digit of your license plate, one person to get groceries. If you chose to not wear your mask in public, you could face a 10,000 quetzale fine, which is about $1,300. It really was not a hard decision to wear a mask at that point. These guys, though, met us in Rosa de Jamaica. You'll notice they don't have any masks on. Again, much like the United States, the farther you got away from urban areas, the less people followed whatever health regulations or recommendations were made. But these guys taught me that wheelbarrows are recliners. Some of you probably knew that before now, but I did not know that until this team. They said, hey, this is a recliner. So we went to Petén, to Rosa de Jamaica, without a U.S. team, but a church had already sent project funds, and they said, go ahead, keep the project funds, do the project. We just won't travel to help make it happen. And so we got to bless this community and be a part of that. And these guys earned the right to use those recliners. They did that for about 2.5 days. They're anywhere between the ages of 6 and 12. And they were bringing in dirt into the sanctuary to level the floor so that it could be painted or concreted. This is their pastor, and I want you to look closely at his shoes. I know it's hard to see in their back. But I had to smile this morning when we sang, everybody in heaven's going to have any shoes.
Amen.
And these are pastor's work shoes. These are pastor's work shoes. I'm sure they're OSHA approved. Right? But they're what he has and what he serves. And this man and his family, with two other families, planted this church about 3 years ago and now runs about 65 people. And they were in a room that, if you could turn it the long way, probably about 3 pews wide.
Yeah.
And maybe 2 pews long, the long way. I have no idea. She's 9. And I want you to know that everybody has something to give to the glory of God. And this 9-year-old is my proof. In her hand is a little blue bottle cap off of a water bottle or a soda bottle. She found it on the ground. Inside that bottle cap is leftover dishwater from the lunch dishes. And in her other hand is a blade of grass that she's tied into a circle. She blew bubbles for the preschoolers for 20 minutes with that blade of grass and a little leftover dishwater and a piece of trash. So church, when you think you don't have anything to give, to bless someone else, yeah, she inspires me. We all have something to give for the glory of God.
Amen. And I think sometimes we get to a certain age and it's certain abilities, or we limit ourselves and think God can't use us. Trust me, God will use you wherever he places you, because he's walking with you. And he's going to love people through you. Just do what you need to do. This is San Cristobal. This particular project, we actually had to switch projects with the team because some of the team members that came worked for the State Department and would allow them to go different areas in Guatemala because the State Department said it wasn't safe. So this is like a suburb of Guatemala City. And this particular church, if you can see that church there, see that's the front of the church. It's probably almost as wide as this, and it goes up a hill. And so you can see there's a block in the front. That block is going to go in, and that building is on a hill, and it kind of slopes up, and the center aisle goes up at an angle. And there are flat platforms as it goes up, and then one big one at the back. And as you go up to the back of the church, you take a right, and you go through a doorway, and to the left are the bathrooms, and right past the bathrooms are an incomplete stairway that goes up to this next level, okay? So you got the picture. We're putting a wall up on the second level to enclose the back of the church so people couldn't get into it. So you got that picture in your mind. You'll need that for just a little bit. This is proof that Spanglish is a reality in Guatemala. Look at the sign there. Is that in Spanish or is that in English? Welcome. I saw my first car wash in Guatemala that actually was in Spanish just before we left on a tour up on the northeast coast area. Every place else in Guatemala, it says car wash in English. And we all know what car wash is, whether you're Spanish or English. Spanglish is a reality. It's a good thing because that's about what I am right now. I'm Spanglish. There we go. That's the second level. Those are some of the guys that are working on the back wall there. That's where some of that block's going. This is a picture of Edwin. My name is Edwin. His name is Edwin. Edwin is from Peru. The team that came to work with us typically went to Peru, but Peru was closed last year because of COVID. We were open, so they came, and they brought Edwin with them. Edwin stands about this tall, so I'm a giant. Edwin lovingly called me Edwin Uno, and I called him Edwin Dos. And I just had a birthday in March, and we're Facebook friends now, and he wished me happy birthday to Edwin Uno. He's a great guy. He makes great ceviche. Great guy. We'll look forward to the day when we'll be able to spend some more time together as well. This is the top of that stairway. You see that little platform that's right there? That's the top of the stairway to the left as you come up. And that's, of course, where we're bringing all of the cement, all of the block, and all of the rock, and all of the sand. All of the water came clear up here. All right? And that's the way it got up there. I wish I'd taken some videos because there were some hilarious moments as we had the bucket brigade going up there. It was quite a wonderful time.
Is there a church kitchen? Do you have anybody who's responsible for the church kitchen that makes sure it stays clean and all that stuff? All of you guys are pretty easygoing. Everybody's responsible for it. Well, then you will all be happy to know that all of that sand and all of that gravel was piled in the church kitchen at the bottom of the stairs.
Wow.
This next slide, maybe. This next slide. Count how many blocks are in that wheelbarrow. Kenny? There's eight. I think there's nine altogether if I remember correctly. This gal is probably maybe 95 pounds. And I happened to catch the picture just as she was almost losing it, but she did not. So she's pushing this wheelbarrow up, full of block, up an about this much, straight up, right? Straight up in the air. And this is because she just watched the big burly bricklayer from the U.S. who had arms that were that big around do 13. She was going to try 9. She made it all the way up. We had another gal who did 10, was a little taller, but she'd made it with no problem. But she watched the guys carrying 100-pound bags of cement up the stairs from the outside all the way up. So she decided she was going to do it, and she carried that 100 pounds of cement on her back all the way up the stairs. Don't want to mess with her. But the thing I remember most about her was the look of pure joy as she got to serve God in a way that she hadn't been able to in a long time. Touched my heart. I'm very thankful for her. This is food being delivered to the church. It's going to be put in these bags. Those bags are going to be distributed a little later on.
So we took some of those bags of food up to another village, another community, about 2 hours away. And my guess is, if I said Pastor John, then we got the spot. Do you know where you can find the people who are the hungriest? Of course, right? You've been here a while. You know where are the people who are hungry? Well, that's what Nazarene Compassion Ministry did. Called up the pastor in the village and said, Pastor, we have this gift. We have this food that we can share. Do you know where people who are hungry are living? And he said, absolutely. And so off we went. I'm sure that ODOT approved this transportation. That's really a fairly empty pickup. We've gotten another 10 people in there.
Yes.
And we went from house to house and home to home and delivered a bag of food with a little bit of cash, probably enough food for a week, and asked, in most cases, asked if we could pray at this particular house. Not very often, not a Christian family, not a Protestant family, not a Catholic family, families with no connection to church anywhere. But we'd ask if we could pray with them. In this case, they said, before we could ask, would you pray for our daughter, for our granddaughter? She has some disabilities, some learning challenges as a young child, and there aren't the same resources that we have. And all they really know is that they have a four-year-old that's making them crazy. And so we said, sure, we'd be honored to pray. And we share this picture that reminds me every time we speak to pray for this little girl and for her family, that they would know the peace of Christ and that they would have the wisdom to raise up a child with maybe some unique challenges to that area. But what a blessing to be a part of that. What a blessing to see compassionate ministries connect to local churches and to connect to communities all over Guatemala.
Just to let you know, when we do a work with this team, a lot of times people think it's only building. One of the statements of one of our work witness coordinators said, we go to do work witness and we might build a building. Because it's more than just completing a task. If there's time, we complete the building. Because it's about connection with people. And in the Church of Nazarene right now, I would say, I think that the theme is strong churches helping strong churches. So if you have a concept that these churches that we're working with aren't spiritually active or alive or just need our help, that's not true. They're very alive. They're very healthy. And they do need our help, but in a different way than we. And we need their help to be revitalized as well. Now, somebody tell me, what do you see that's a predominant thing in that picture? Telephones, right? There's just a few there. Our boss is sitting on your right there, sitting down. That's Roger Kellogg. He is the field coordinator for Work Witness and the central field, which encompasses El Salvador, Honduras, and Guatemala. And he's just a little bit of a geek. That's why I love him. He has a tendency to collect these phones. He buys them cheap when he gets to the States. And in this particular case, this is a Christian school in Guatemala City that many of our missionary kids have graduated from. In fact, Roger's daughter just graduated this year from this school. And they had a need of a system where they could inform the whole campus if there's an emergency or something's happening. And so this is a large campus. This is multiple buildings spread over probably 5 acres of land that's in a compound. And so these phones were put in by the other two. There's two guys that are standing up there. That was a part of the team. It worked out to where they'd worked with voice over internet phones. So they installed these phones. So let you know, when we do work and witness, it's not always just in the Church of Nazarene. Years ago, we had a missionary come to this district, and someone asked him, what's the difference between how the churches work together in the States or how they work on the mission field? And he described churches and different organizations working together. They're kind of like an inch high on the mission field, where they're easily crossed back and forth, and they're a mile high in the United States. And his statement was, that should not be. So we help each other on the mission field. We have the same mission as far as introducing people to Jesus and the good news. And we do here as well. This, when we were there, clear through Sunday on this particular, on a Saturday night, they had a zone youth rally, and this is the conclusion of the youth rally with a bonfire message. And in that message, of course, they asked the students to write something they were giving to God, and then they burn them in the it was a very good time.
We show that picture just to remind us all that youth ministry looks about the same everywhere.
It does.
It really does. This picture is lousy photography, and that's kind of on purpose. We took this picture at a group home for young women aged 11 to 17 who are victims of sexual abuse, often from within their own families. It's a government-run care facility, but we are very welcome. The Church of Nazarene was welcome. A local church in San Cristobal said, hey, we'd like to partner with with you, and we'd like to begin to provide some ministry to these girls. And so that partnership has continued. They're continuing on with some Bible studies. But this particular day, that circle had gathered to either commit their lives to Christ or renew their relationship with Jesus. And they were praying together that day. That developed also into another kind of ministry to them that we had on our campus. This is what the seminary campus looks like in Guatemala City.
In December.
At Christmas time.
Wow.
And so we were able to bring all, thanks to the partnership of a local church in the United States and three Guatemala churches, all those girls came to campus for the day. We had a meal together. We had a bonfire at the end of the day. And they were all given a brand new outfit. Top, pants, shoes. And so a couple of things are significant about that. One is that they were brand new. And these girls had not seen brand new clothes for years. Because everybody lives from what we call Mega Paco, which is really similar to Goodwill, only a lot cheaper. And the other thing that's significant about that is that Guatemalan tradition is at Christmas time you get a new outfit. Much like we might have done, especially in the past, at Easter. You know, I don't know. My mom always got me a new Easter dress. She was always more proud of it than I was. But she got me a new Easter dress. This was that tradition being carried on for these girls who didn't have family around them who could do that for them. We do ask that you would pray for another piece of that puzzle with these girls. There's a partnership developing between Guatemala Central District and a local church in the United States. Because just like here, the day those kids turn 18, that support goes away. Just like our foster system has that gap. And so there's a partnership in process, but many, many things are similar. When you look for a place to have a transitional home, you discover that there's paperwork and red tape and challenges, and that's the process that ministry is walking through right now. So pray that they would be able to find the right place and that red tape would be finished and that those girls that are 18 and 19 would have a place to transition.
Just to let you know, there was about 48 of those young ladies on the campus that particular day. They fed them a wonderful meal. They gave them the gifts. They played games. They were there all day until late in the evening. It was really quite a wonderful gift to them as a whole that they wouldn't have got to have. Well, we have a little thing called a chapel factory there on the campus that we stay on. We're on the seminary campus in Guatemala City. And we live at the very end of that campus, kind of overlooking a river gully kind of a place. And right up about a quarter mile up a nice steep hill, which we walk up to, is our chapel factory. And that's where we produce the trusses and some of those things to go on some of the buildings. In Guatemala City, typically a church, if they're going to have a working witness team come, they have to have the four walls built. Okay? That's been going on for about the last 12 or 13 years because we discovered that if we didn't, it was not a good thing for them. And we discovered the same thing in the U.S. If we just give a church a building, they struggle as a church. But if they work together and see God work, the miracle that takes place in that process, they tend to thrive. So this is my favorite picture. Our boss asked us before we left to pick the two or three favorite pictures. This is mine. This is my mi esposa cutting 3/4-inch rebar. She's a tough lady, man. We did score it a little bit to get it in there to start, and then she cut it. And that's what. And then this little picture here, you can see I'm off on the right-hand side. I haven't welded for 30 years, and they gave me the stick welder and had me do the stick welder. If you know the difference, there's a plasma welder. They were, my boss and the other guy were using the plasma welder, and I think they were just trying to see if I could really do it. Plasma welders are a lot easier to use than the stick welder. And so we were all hands on deck because we were behind. We didn't realize it, but we were a couple, three behind of the trusses. They're there. You can see the truss I'm working on there. That's a double. It's one of the biggest ones we've done. There it is. We always get this awe. Just before we left, we have a German Shepherd that gave birth to 12 pups, her first litter. 9 of them survived, and this was the size of the pup just a couple days before we left. I have the privilege of being kind of overseeing the cameras on campus. So I watched, I go back and I can look at the cameras, see what's going on. I watched these dogs grow. And the one thing I was very thankful for is I was in the U.S. and I didn't have to clean up the mess in the shop of 9 pups that were there. Hijab.
This is Pastor Alberto's daughter. She's 11. She's their worship leader. So in case you wonder how people around the world disciple young believers, we do it together, just like you do it here. Right? And so our 11-year-old is surrounded with an adult band back there, kind of off camera for the most part. But it was just a beautiful time of leading worship to watch this young girl, partially in Spanish and partially in Quechua. That's really fun because you think you're learning a new language and then you realize that's not the language I'm learning, but there are 22 Mayan languages in Guatemala, right alongside Spanish as kind of the common language that kids learn once they go to school. So it was a beautiful time with her. And this is the church that we're building. If you're wondering what it looks like when Work and Witness shows up to put on a roof, well, there's those rebar welded in our factory trusses. They bolt the middle together.
They bolt them together.
And then we put them up. It involves somebody being up on top of the wall. And then pretty soon you have this. And you start putting up the rafters to hold them in place. Anybody want to volunteer for the top of the roof duty?
No.
Okay. Often there's one, maybe two hands that go up. But usually it's our Guatemalan guys that do that.
But
I would do it if they'd let me. They won't.
We've had women get up on top and help too before. So.
Okay. But when it comes to putting the roofing on, then yes. So the lamina or the sheet metal is going up here. Pastor Heriberto is there in the brown. He wasn't about to miss the chance to put his hands on this project, this dream. And go ahead. The reason for that is right there. That's the largest building that Work and Witness has ever helped with. That sanctuary is the size of a basketball court. It's about 15 and a half meters wide. And it's just cool looking at it. And that reaction that you had is the same reaction the church people had when the lights went on. They all went,
and cheered.
And they cheered. And the reason it means so much to us when we see it is we got to get to know Pastor Alberto's heart a little bit. Pastor Alberto had been praying and dreaming and visioning along with God for a decade of what their next building might look like. They, too, were in a little building the size of, I don't know, maybe 4 pews wide.
Yeah,
and
maybe.
2 pews long. And they had just completely outgrown it. And he knew God had given him a vision for the whole village. But there was not room in the building for everybody to come and hear the good news and worship together. So 10 years of praying, 10 years of visioning, 10 years of waiting, 10 years of raising funds and talking people who weren't real sure about it into putting walls up for what would come. And then these Mayan men, the night we left, we worshiped together as the lights came on and the sound system got set up and the band got set up. We worshiped together with them. And then they thanked us. And I don't know if you know this or not, but American men are known for being stoic. Mayan men make American men look like the most emotional people on earth. They don't cry. They don't smile. They don't frown. Very, very stoic. Very just plain. Yeah. Right, very, very calm, very steadfast. And these older Mayan men came up to the team weeping in gratitude to the team and to God for what God had done in their midst. We had a beautiful time at that church being with them. So there was a team of 5 from the United States, from Ohio, a team of 5 from 7 hours away in Guatemala. The Work and Witness staff and the local church. And God brought that together in ways far bigger than any one little piece of that puzzle can be.
Amen.
And it was just a beautiful time of worship and gratitude for what God had done.
And I'll let you know, the U.S. team said, because they didn't put a floor in, if you look in there, there's no floor. This is a very expensive process for us. It's about, what,
$17,000, $18,000
U.S., just for the metal. So there wasn't money for the floor. So the U.S. team that came said, hey, what's going to cost to put the cement floor in? And they ran some quick figures, and it was going to cost $3,000 U.S. just for the material. So we asked the pastor, I asked the pastor, and he said he had enough for the windows and the doors. And he sent us these pictures afterwards that the windows got put in. But at the same time, they kept asking if they needed money for the floor. And we didn't hear anything. But we got sent this picture by the pastor. It looks to me like there's a floor going in there, doesn't it? Because there was. And I didn't do it this morning, but I just got a picture off of his pastor's Facebook account. It's his picture with the church behind with a completed floor. Now, just to give you the heads up, in San Cristobal, we had the building that went up, that particular stage, nothing was finished on the inside. Didn't have any finished work. We went back to church there a couple months later because this was a hugging church. We kind of fell in love with the church and pastor and his wife were both pastors. And the stage was finished. It was beautiful. So we asked the pastor, what happened? He said, down the street, there was a businessman, not a Catholic, no Christian affiliation at all, came to him and said, what's going to cost to finish your stage? And he paid for it. $3,000 in this village? I'm thinking, where did they raise the funds to do that? All I know is God does it. And so I told your pastor this earlier today, but I've been saying this all along. If God were to give you money from someone that wasn't a believer, and maybe might even be a little sketchy in your mind, if I find out that you didn't receive that money, I will come and gift slap you myself. And here's the reason why. God owns it all. It's all His. He can supply it however He wants. Now, I just had a similar thing happen to me not too long ago with someone who called and said, hey, I'd like to give you a substantial amount of money, and I was going to tell him it was too much, and it's like God said, do I need to gib slap you? It's the same thing. God owns it all. He can supply the resources however He wants. Let Him supply the resources that you need to do ministry and in your life. And here, of course, are the doors on the outside as well. Future projects, let me just go through this real quickly. I just want to tell you that this is one of the places we visited before we left. This was a future project. When we put this in, it's no longer a future project. It's done. This is a thing called a Nazgul.
Micah, where's that ball?
There it is, back there.
Everybody needs to stretch a little bit.
Spin backwards. Spin backwards with Micah numbers.
Ball. Nazgul needs a soccer ball.
Nazgul, that's to share the good news with people. That's a simple explanation on that process, and that's what it's going to be used for. And Pastor Rebecca is probably in her early to mid-30s, single, is doing an unbelievably fabulous job of leading this church forward and seeing people come to know Jesus. In fact, we've watched her. She was just ordained this year. They had a baptismal service where I don't remember how many they baptized. But they're leading people to Jesus like crazy in this process. And an Nazgul is basically a small soccer field, synthetic field, that's got a cover, like mesh over it, all around where the ball doesn't go out, open to the community to be able to be involved in. See this little young man right here? That guy right there is 4 years old. His job.
Anybody
who's four in here? Right there, a four-year-old, right? He's four. His job was to get the right amount of water in the mixture of the sand and the gravel to put the wall up. That was his job. And I watched him while we were doing this. He'd go play for a little bit, and then they'd whistle, and he'd go turn the water on and bring it over and get the right amount in. That's what he did. His brother here is 10, and he's putting cement into the... That's how they're getting the cement and stuff over for the guy that's putting the wall up back behind. He's 10, and Kim happened to go over and tell him thank you for working. And his response was, it's God's work. A little indignant. I want to tell you, no matter how significant you might think what you're doing It's God's work. This young man understood this had to happen in order for the very ministry tool to take place for them to be able to reach people for Jesus. It's God's work. May the little children lead us. Now, do you see something strange there? This is a project. We'll be doing this in
end of August.
What I want you to notice here, there's a building inside of a building. That building will be ripped out when we come up to put the stuff up. But I want you to notice how densely populated area that we're in here. So watch this. This is a drone shot. Okay, so you go this, see, counting me houses, you see 1, 2, 3, 4, and then watch as it pans out. Look how densely populated it is there. Can you believe how densely populated it is there? Now, this church is running about 75 right now, and people walk up to 7 miles to come to church on Sunday mornings. This project will have a roof. There's no electricity in this place, but we'll be hooking up an electrical unit to a generator. The electrics will be done. This is kind of a miracle because of the Lord supplied more than enough money to get this job done from a single donor, one person who saw it and said, I feel led the Lord to do this. And it was going to cost, I think, $16,000. He said, I don't believe, I'm going to round it up. I'll round it up to $20,000. So they'll have enough to put the floor in, the roof on, the electrical in, the doors and windows in, and probably a little more after that. Notice this building. This is a building that we were supposed to put a roof on. Do you notice something strange there? There's a roof on it. They said, hey, you guys ain't coming. We're going to do it ourselves. Happened several times since we've been there. They're more than capable. It's healthy churches working with healthy churches. Now, as we were walking up there, you can see me in the shirt there. We're walking up around the corner. On this corner, you see that power line that runs through there? When they were putting what they call the lamina up, the sheet metal up, the wind caught a piece, and the guy came into it and electrocuted it and killed him. And every time you walked around that corner, when we were there, it's somber. Nobody speaks as they go around that corner. But they had another project they were interested in doing, and this is it. That white piece of metal that you see across there, they're going to put walls up, and we're going to put and rip out the other piece, and we're going to put a Sunday school roof on that particular piece, possibly in the future. There's also a drone shot here. I just got to tell you a story. As this guy was doing this drone's pretty. It's a nice sized drone, and as that going, the dog comes walking up to this side to the left over here. He looks up there, and that drone gets closer. And he puts his tail between his legs and runs off yelping. I'm pretty sure he thought that was the biggest insect he's ever seen in his life. And he didn't want anything to do with it. We want to tell you thank you for this. Is the reality is that we would not be able to be in Guatemala, even as what we will be considered sponsored employees, if it wasn't for World Evangelism Fund. Every church Nazarene pays, 5.5 of the income separate from what comes in for missions of the amount for budgets for World Evangelism Fund.
Thank you
so much for that, because we wouldn't be able to be there. And just to let you know, every church is a part of a whole worldwide avenue of reaching the world for Jesus and building strong churches. And the gospel, the good news is being spread, but so is our theology of holiness, of perfect love, of loving the way Jesus loves us, other people, of that being the motivation why we do what we're called to do. And I just want to say thank you for your faithfulness. In conclusion, somebody always asks, what is it that we can do? Well, we have these little cards, and we'd ask you to take as many as you like. We still have about probably 1,500 of them left, because we were going to go a couple of years ago, and then COVID happened. They're magnetic, and if you want to use them for a craft, I understand you put them in the dishwasher. You can probably put them in the dishwasher, but in the washing machine, everything washes off, and you can use them for a craft after that. You think I'm kidding? I'm not kidding. It works. But we'd like you to take one of these and put it up on your refrigerator, and every time you see it, that you pray for us. We've made a commitment. We'll make a commitment to you too. As God brings you to mind, we'll pray for you. It's a common thing for me to wake up in the morning and God brings a person's face to mind. I might not remember your name, but I never forget a face. And I'll pray for you. Pray for us, please. Pray for us that God would use us pray for me that God would supernaturally give me the ability to speak Spanish. Hasn't happened yet, but I'm learning it. I was always told that I need to learn Spanish because it was going to be a language of heaven. One of our district Spanish pastors said, no, it's going to be English. And we said, why? He says, because it takes an eternity to learn it. which I love. Pray. Give. You know, in my lifetime as being a pastor, we've had emphasis of prayer. Right? Great. We've had emphasis of giving financially and of our time and our resources. Give. Give to missions internationally and at home. Give yourself and the community that you live in so that you can be the feet that bring good news. Give. And the last thing is to go. Go. Go where God has called you to go. 40-some years of ministry for me, we've never done all three at the same time of his emphasis. There's power when we pray, when we give, and we go all at the same time. Because we're involved in mission.
So you are called to be a missionary where you are. You reach people that no one else can.
Amen.
So remember, you have beautiful feet.
And remember, you might be the only believer that person even will ever know.
Yeah.